Welcome to the GCSE PE Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics on the OCR specification, nutrition, balanced diet, and macronutrient and micronutrient requirements. This is topic 4.4 from component 01, and trust me, if you nail this topic, you're setting yourself up for some really solid marks. So let's get into it. First, let's set the scene. Why does nutrition matter in PE? Well, think of your body like a high-performance car. You wouldn't put the wrong fuel in a Formula One car and expect it to win a race, right? The same logic applies to athletes. What you eat directly affects how well you perform, how quickly you recover, and how your body adapts to training. The examiners at OCR want you to understand not just what the nutrients are, but why they matter for specific types of physical activity. That's the key distinction. Always link your nutrition knowledge to the sporting context. Now let's move into the core concepts. We're going to cover macronutrients first, then micronutrients, and then talk about how athletes manipulate their diet for performance. So, macronutrients, these are the nutrients your body needs in large amounts, and there are three of them: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Let's start with carbohydrates because they are the body's preferred energy source during exercise. Now, here's where it gets really interesting for your exam. There are two types of carbohydrates, and you need to know the difference. Simple carbohydrates are things like sugar, sweets, fruit juice, and white bread. They're broken down very quickly by the body, which means they cause a rapid spike in blood glucose. This gives you a quick burst of energy. Think of a sprinter eating a banana or a gel right before a race. That's simple carbs in action. Complex carbohydrates, on the other hand, are things like whole grain pasta, brown rice, oats, and sweet potatoes. These take longer to digest, which means they release energy slowly and steadily over time. They're ideal for endurance athletes, marathon runners, cyclists, triathletes, because they provide sustained fuel throughout a long event. Here's a key term you absolutely must use in your exam answers: glycogen. When you eat carbohydrates, your body converts them into glycogen, which is stored in your muscles and your liver. During exercise, your muscles draw on these glycogen stores for energy. This is why endurance athletes sometimes practice something called carbohydrate loading, eating a high carbohydrate diet in the days before a major event to maximize their glycogen stores. If an exam question asks you to justify a dietary strategy for a marathon runner, mentioning glycogen loading will earn you marks. Now, on to protein. This is where a lot of candidates go wrong, so listen carefully. Protein's primary role is not to provide energy during exercise. I know it might seem like it should be because athletes eat a lot of protein, but its main job is muscle repair and growth, what scientists call hypertrophy. After a tough training session, your muscle fibers have tiny tears in them. Protein provides the amino acids needed to repair and rebuild those fibers, making them stronger. This is why a rugby player or a weightlifter would eat a high-protein diet, not for energy during the game, but for recovery and muscle development afterwards. Protein can be used as an energy source, but only as a minor, last resort source, and examiners will not credit responses that identify it as a primary energy source. Good sources of protein include chicken, fish, eggs, dairy products, beans, and lentils. Now let's talk about fats. Fats often get a bad reputation, but they are actually essential for athletes, particularly those competing in long-duration, low-intensity activities. Think of a long-distance swimmer or a cyclist doing a 5-hour ride. At low to moderate exercise intensities, fat is the body's preferred fuel source. It provides more than twice the energy per gram compared to carbohydrates, so it's incredibly efficient for sustained activity. Here's another key term for your exam: glycogen sparing. When the body becomes more efficient at using fat as a fuel source, which happens with aerobic training, it uses less glycogen. This is called glycogen sparing, and it's a significant benefit of endurance training. By sparing glycogen, athletes can sustain effort for longer before hitting the wall. Now, there's an important distinction you must make between types of fat. Unsaturated fats, found in avocados, nuts, olive oil, and oily fish, are the healthy type. They support cardiovascular health and serve as an aerobic energy source. Saturated fats, found in butter, fatty meats, and processed foods, are associated with increased risk of heart disease and should be limited. Examiners will credit candidates who make this distinction clearly. Right, let's move on to micronutrients. These are nutrients needed in smaller amounts, but they're absolutely vital for maintaining bodily function during exercise. The two categories are vitamins and minerals. Let me give you the key ones to know for your OCR exam. Iron is a mineral, and its role is to form hemoglobin in red blood cells. Hemoglobin is the protein that carries oxygen from your lungs to your working muscles. If an athlete is iron deficient, they'll have fewer red blood cells, less oxygen delivery, and their aerobic performance will suffer. Iron is found in red meat, spinach, and fortified cereals. Female athletes are particularly at risk of iron deficiency due to menstrual blood loss. Calcium is another mineral, and its primary role in sport is maintaining bone density and impact resistance. Athletes in high-impact sports, gymnastics, basketball, running, need strong bones to withstand the forces placed on them. Calcium is found in dairy products, broccoli, and fortified plant milks. Vitamin C supports immune function and tissue repair. Athletes who train intensively can have a temporarily suppressed immune system, so adequate vitamin C is important to keep them healthy and training consistently. Sources include citrus fruits, peppers, and kiwi. Vitamin D works alongside calcium to support bone health by aiding calcium absorption. It's also important for muscle function. The main source is sunlight, which is why athletes training in low sunlight environments often need to supplement. Sodium is a mineral that maintains fluid balance and supports nerve and muscle function. During prolonged exercise, sodium is lost through sweat, which is why sports drinks contain electrolytes, including sodium. Now let's talk about what a balanced diet actually means in the context of PE. A balanced diet is not just about eating a variety of foods, it's about matching your energy intake to your energy expenditure and ensuring the correct ratio of nutrients for your activity type. An endurance athlete will have a diet higher in carbohydrates. A strength athlete will prioritize protein. A sedentary person will need fewer calories overall. The key phrase for your exam is, a balanced diet matches energy intake to energy expenditure and provides the correct nutrient ratios for the individual's activity level. Now let's shift to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where I want you to really pay attention because these are the things that cost students marks every single year. Mistake number one, saying protein is a main energy source. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Protein is for repair and growth, not primary energy. If you write that a marathon runner should eat lots of protein for energy, you will not get the mark. Mistake number two, being vague about energy. Saying a nutrient gives you energy is not enough. You must specify the type of energy. Is it quick, explosive energy for anaerobic activity or sustained energy for aerobic, long-duration activity? Always link the nutrient to the intensity and duration of the exercise. Mistake number three, confusing vitamins and macronutrients. Vitamin C does not provide energy. It supports the immune system and tissue repair. Don't mix up the roles. Mistake number four, not distinguishing between saturated and unsaturated fats. Always specify which type of fat you're referring to and why it matters. Now, for six mark analysis questions, the examiners love to see a chronological structure. Think pre-event, during, post-event. For example, if asked to analyze the nutritional strategy of a marathon runner, you'd say pre-event, carbohydrate loading to maximize glycogen stores. During, simple carbohydrates and electrolyte drinks to maintain blood glucose and hydration. Post-event, protein-rich meal to repair muscle damage and replenish glycogen with carbohydrates. This structure shows the examiner you understand nutrition as a dynamic, ongoing process rather than a one-off decision. Also, when you see the command word explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because or therefore to force yourself to link cause and effect. Carbohydrates are important because they are converted to glycogen, which fuels muscle contractions during aerobic exercise. That's an explain answer. Just saying carbohydrates give energy is a describe answer and won't get full marks. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give it to you. Question one, what is the primary role of protein in an athlete's diet? Answer, muscle repair and hypertrophy, not energy provision. Question two, what is glycogen and where is it stored? Answer, glycogen is the stored form of carbohydrate stored in the muscles and liver. Question three, name two minerals and their specific roles in sport. Answer, iron forms hemoglobin for oxygen transport. Calcium maintains bone density and impact resistance. Question four, what is the difference between simple and complex carbohydrates? Answer, simple carbohydrates provide a rapid energy spike, good for immediate explosive activity. Complex carbohydrates provide slow, sustained energy release, ideal for endurance events. Question five, what does glycogen sparing mean? Answer, the body uses fat as a fuel source instead of glycogen, preserving glycogen stores for longer, a benefit of aerobic training. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section. Let's wrap up with a quick summary. Today we covered the three macronutrients: carbohydrates as the primary energy source, with simple carbs for quick energy, and complex carbs for sustained glycogen fuel; proteins for muscle repair and hypertrophy, not primary energy; and fats as a long-duration aerobic fuel, with unsaturated fats being the healthy choice. We covered key micronutrients: iron for hemoglobin and oxygen transport, calcium for bone density, vitamin C for immune function, vitamin D for calcium absorption, and sodium for fluid balance. And we talked about how to structure exam answers. Always link nutrients to activity type, intensity, and duration, and use the pre-event, during, post-event framework for extended responses. Remember the golden rule for this topic: specificity earns marks. Don't just say, "Carbohydrates give energy." Say, "Complex carbohydrates are broken down into glycogen, which is stored in the muscles and used as fuel during sustained aerobic activity, such as a marathon." That's the difference between 1 mark and 3 marks. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those exam questions, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck.